He's going to slow down.
I'd like to call this session this morning, day 15 of this procedural session, and begin with a prayer. Congressman Till.
I was yesterday.
You were yesterday, then.
I'd be more than glad.
Congressman Walker.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings that you bestowed on the Osage Nation, Lord. I just want to ask that you be with us as we deliberate and make decisions that affect all Osage people. Not only the Osage people, but those that live in our communities and live with us and reside in our communities, Lord. I just want to ask that you bless our children, bless our elders, bless those in mourning, Lord. And Lord, I just want to ask that you please forgive us for our sins, Lord. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We have a roll call, please, for our presence.
Congresswoman Bucklehead. Congresswoman Edwards. Congressman Hamilton.
Present.
Congressman Baker.
Here.
Congressman Norris.
Here.
Congresswoman Pratt. Congressman Shaw.
Here.
Congressman Supermill.
Here.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Speaker Mason.
Present.
Assistant Chief Redcorn.
Present. Clearly, we do have a quorum. Next on our agenda is approval of the journal yesterday. Giving you some time, please review, and if there's any additions, corrections, deletions, please let us know. Congressman Walker.
This is the third, that was reviewing the journal from the 13th day, was that yesterday? No? Okay.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I was trying to get the sergeant on to teach you, excuse me, correct.
Congresswoman Pratt.
So I could be wrong, but I feel like on General Order 31 on page 2, when Congresswoman Edwards read that in, although the title was incorrect at the time, she read it with the correct title into the record, about $5.6 million.
Thank you, Ms. Christie. Congressman Walker.
And I saw the very last sentence that says that you returned to me, and I think that should be Congressman Hamilton.
Correct, thank you.
And I'll make a motion to approve the journal as amended.
Motion been made and seconded. Discussion, hearing none. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed, say no. The journal is approved. Moving on down to number four, we have been invited to have our annual presentation from BKD, and Mr. Joel Hesser is here, so we're going to turn it over to you, sir, for your presentation.
All righty, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Good morning, everyone. I have the audit results for the September 30, 2015 audit, and I was just going to briefly go over all the reports that we issued, because there's always a lot. We'll go into any detail, but if you have questions, please don't hesitate to ask, and I'll be happy to try to answer, and if not, I can definitely get back to you. The slides, go to the next slide. If you have a clicker, I can do my best to work. Thank you.
Yeah.
You can see here, we issue the financial statement opinion on the financial statements as a whole. And please your report, it was an unmodified, which is a clean opinion on the financial statements. A couple things I was going to point out in the financial statements. It's a big document, 60 pages with a lot of information. And one thing I encourage everyone to do is if you don't want to spend time reading the whole thing, which, believe me, I understand, there's a section called Management's Discussion and Analysis. Is the first of the report right after our opinion. It's about 8 pages. If you're going to focus on anything, I'll focus on that because it'll give you a summary of the results of the year and how everything went. So I encourage everybody to read that if you don't want to read the whole report at some point. One thing I did want to point out because I want to brought up last year while we were here is if you have a copy of the report, it's on page 13 of the big financial statement document, and I'll summarize if you have to find it. But probably one of the most important numbers to look at when you're looking at this is the, they're called unassigned fund balance. This one, big one, the thickest one. And it is page 13 of those financial statements. And there's a number there, very bottom left corner called unassigned fund balances. And right now it's showing a deficit of $861,000, which is at year end. And what this is good for is this, it shows you a trend, the change from year to year. I mean, you obviously don't want it to be a deficit, but the good news is it actually got better from the prior year. And one reason that we want to point out, and the treasurer and anybody can explain it to you, is there's a restricted investment of about $5.1 million, which is being used as collateral for the note with Bank of Oklahoma. Because of the restriction on that, Bank of Oklahoma wants to spend that money. It actually gets reported up in the top, and so that's one reason it's creating this deficit. So once those notes are paid off, that money will get released, and it'll be available for operations. But did want to bring that up to you because that's probably one of the most important numbers to look at. But again, we issued an unmodified clean opinion on the financial statements. The next report I want to explain to you is the single audit report, which looks like this, a little bit smaller. This is the report on federal funds and the expenditures and compliance with the federal government's rules and regulations. And good news is there is that we have no findings to report. Findings as far as the A133 problem for the federal funds that gets reported to the federal government. And there were none this year. I mean, previous years there have been issues, but over the past 2 or 3 years it has been cleaned up and we have no findings to report. So I'm pleased to report that. The last thing we issue is the auditor communication letter, and it looks like this right here. It basically is a summary of the results that we just went over. We did have the classify issues, deficiencies in the three classifications, the material weakness, which is the word significant deficiency, which is in between, and then just deficiencies. We did have one material weakness to report this year, which is related to accounts payable, accrued liabilities, cut off, and how those get reported. And so we did have to make some adjustments to the financial statements for those. Again, nothing that I would consider too concerning, it's just we got to work on the controls and getting approvals and everything in place. There's some judgment involved in those accounting estimates, and so that is reported. But overall, please report the results. Again, we have no findings to report. Was also going to mention, we also audit the LLC, Osage LLC separately. Separate team performed that audit, and we issued that, I think in March or April, a little before. It rolls up into the nation's financial statements, and we issued a modified clean opinion on that as well. And so, wanted to at least mention that to you. Next slide. As we went through the financial statements, these are kind of the main headings for the financial statements and how to separate those. Again, the management's discussion analysis, which there's a second item, I encourage everybody to focus on, if anything. It'll give you the most information, it's pretty useful. Again, we went over the single audit report and the findings. About $20 million of federal funds were expended during the fiscal year ending September 30, 2015. Which is about consistent with where it's been in the past. Again, those are the results that we have discussed and moving ahead. And kind of in closing, we did receive outstanding support, as we usually do, from the nation and the county staff and single audit federal fund awards. There have been significant improvements over the years, and I do want to commend the finance department for that. I think the year, this is our third year in place. There were, the first year, several federal fund findings. There were several internal control deficiencies that needed to be reported. But over the years, those have been cleaned up. There's still some improvements to be made, obviously, but in accounting, there almost always is. We had a great report on compliance, no findings to report there, so that's fantastic. I do want to point out that I don't want to hide it. The audit was issued a week late, not something we were proud of internally. We had some issues internally, had some relationship issues in getting the information from management, primarily with the federal funds. One of the challenges in doing the single audits is Osage Nation, the federal funds are decentralized. And so we have to work with each agency individually, and sometimes that causes delay in getting information. And so we struggled to get all that information for the single audit to issue it in time. It was about a week late. But there's no impact to funds, federal funding, anything like that. But again, it's not something we were proud of, and but I didn't want to at least, you know, I don't want to hide it. I don't want to cause issues with that. And lastly, that was the third year of our contract, and internally, we probably think it's the best interest of us and with management that we didn't bid on the next year's audit. You know, we're honestly a little bit resource challenged right now. Our retirement of a partner, we've had some staff turnover, and so we're just don't feel that we're in the best place to be able to offer you guys the services you deserve. And so we'll always be there to answer questions. If issues pop up, don't hesitate to call us. I don't mind making a trip up here to answer anything that's happened in the past, and please feel free to do so. But with that, I'll take questions if anybody has any questions, concerns.
Congressman Edwards and then Congressman Shaw.
So I've obviously just gotten this, so my questions are just in flipping through this for the last 5 minutes. So you say that on page 6, Bureau of Indian Affairs contracts, the nation has received $280,000 from grants from the BIA in previous years. There's been limited to no activity in these grant agreements for several years. And you suggest the nation determine the required use of these funds. So we have those funds on hand?
I believe 280,000 of those funds are on hand. If I remember correctly, it's about 8 grants that have been issued. And they may be part of the Minerals Council. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I think about 200,000, 280,000 have been received. The rest of them are a reimbursement basis. So once those expenditures get made, they can be reimbursed by the federal government. We did review as many of the contracts as we could, and from what we can tell, there's no timeline, deadline where these funds have to be expended. But some of them, I believe, are 8, 9 years old. So we just encourage always, if you've got federal funding and can use to use it to the best of your abilities.
When you say that the federal funds are decentralized, that's for accounting purposes?
No, it's the way the structure has been made. Decentralized just means each individual department is really responsible for their own compliance. There is an internal audit function that goes around and reviews these on a periodic basis, but most governments, that's not unusual at all. But there's a few smaller ones where we would call it centralized, where basically they're in one office that are responsible for managing all grants.
Like self-governance or something like that?
Yeah, and the larger you get, the more difficult that is to centralize those functions. But again, decentralized makes it a little bit more difficult because we're dealing with a lot more people to get information and work through the problems.
And then I wanted to ask a question. When it comes to funding agreements that we have with the federal government, such as an indirect cost sharing agreement or a multi-year funding agreement in some other area with the IHS or something like that, does your audit reflect individual agreements like that? And is that another example of a decentralized, or how does that work?
No, the way that works is if you have contracts in place with the federal government, what we do, and as part of the single audit, is the federal government has come up with a system on the way you audit these programs. And they almost cycle through every 3 years. So once we do perform an audit, if we don't have any findings related to, then typically it's your 3 to 4 top programs with the most federal expenditures is all we're going to look at. If you don't have findings, then typically those get audited every third year. If there are findings, if you have issues, then we're required to audit that the next year again. And the contracts specifically aren't necessarily audited. We just look at it from the accounting standpoint. But then the federal government, especially with IHS, they do have specific requirements they want us to follow. And so we follow their published guidelines.
And so you go and look at the financial documents relating to the entity. You don't necessarily follow our law that we have, or how do you interface our law with your financial documents?
Your laws, for the most part, trump the compliance issues. When the federal government issues, that they have the requirements that we have to follow. And if you guys have issued a law, which we say is laws trump regulations, and so if there's a law in place, we do actually look at that for compliance. If we find a violation of the law, whether it's an Osage Nation law, a federal law, that will get reported in our report. But again, we don't audit everything, so there can still be violations that we just don't uncover.
Do you look at our appropriations laws to see that the financials match up with the line items in appropriation law?
No, we don't audit the budget, essentially what we call that. We do review it, but we don't audit it.
Okay. So you would be available to come back up if we go through this because it's big.
Oh, sure. Yes, I understand.
And the July 8th, 2016 letter from Chief Standing Bear, where he outlines all the things that we have done, we have provided to the best of our knowledge, there are no violations of any law. Blah, blah, blah.
Correct.
That's the response to the audit that you did?
Yes.
Okay. And it's signed by the chief and the treasurer. Okay.
Sure. If you have questions and you need to come back, just let me know. I'll be happy to.
And then obviously, Callie Catcher signed one page?
Yes, I believe. And I think with the turnover and the transition, Callie is responsible for signing up through a certain date, and then when Sam took over as new treasurer, he signs through a different date. Is typically how that works.
Okay, so she signed up to April 30th, and he signs from May 1st on.
Correct.
And this includes up to what date?
July the 8th.
July the 8th of 2016.
Correct.
Thank you, Congressman Shaw.
My questions are rather basic. similar language that she probably used every year, but I started thinking about, you said, no findings, but there's some material weakness.
Okay.
So is a finding and a deficiency the same thing?
Yeah, I'll probably clarify that. We use findings probably too loosely, more loosely than we should. There's two types that we classify the findings into. One of them is related to compliance of federal funds, and that's traditional what the finding terminology is. And then there's also, we call them as findings, but really they're deficiencies on the internal control side for the financial statements. So essentially it's the finance staff, it's the different agencies, internal agencies that work through items. And so those material weakness and the single deficiency are related more towards those designation internal controls and not really concerned with the federal findings, the federal issues. And the material weakness that was identified was primarily related to construction invoices. And I believe it was the construction of the two new buildings, and there's some federal funds in the roads programs. And the way that works is as of June 30, 2015, if there are some invoices that come in before the fiscal year end, typically they'll cut off as of a certain day, so they'll cut off as of 9:30 the vendor. And those really count as expenditures in the 15 fiscal year. But you may not get the invoice for 2 months after year end, and so those need to come back and be approved in the county board 15. And as we're going through there doing our audit, there were a couple invoices related to construction that really should have been in 2015 that they've gotten recorded in 2016. And so we'll make an adjustment to reflect those properly in the financial statements. And material weakness is just related to working with management to get some control in place to make sure those don't get missed going forward. It's essentially how that works. So it's really related to the internal control information. On the other end, an example would be if it was federal funding, if we would audit IHS program, we would audit the food distribution program, and we find that people receive funds they should not have received. Those are findings we require to report to the federal government, and they would go in a different report, a different page. And so they're essentially both sets of findings, except one related to federal programs and compliance with those, and the other is just more internal control, strengthening the nation's system. Essentially how that works.
Follow up. I was just looking at the first paragraph over the internal control over financial reporting, where it says, according, at the end of that first paragraph, accordingly, we do not express an opinion on the effectiveness of the nation's internal controls, but it seems that it's more of an assessment of the internal control over financial reporting, not the effectiveness of the controls themselves.
Correct. We don't perform an internal control audit. So we don't come in to look at every set of internal controls that you have in place. A lot of times that's very conducive to public company audits. You've heard of the SOX 404, the compliance after the norm, and all those issues that happen over a decade ago now. They started requiring those public companies to have actual audits of the internal control system. All we do is we're responsible to gain an understanding, at least know how your internal control systems work. And so if we do come across issues, we're required to report those to you, but we don't actually perform a full audit on the internal control systems.
One more follow-up. Are there benefits to having an audit that extends to assessing the patient's internal controls?
It's funny you mentioned that. Actually, the federal government, if they could have their way, they would require all governments to have an audit of their internal control systems. But personally, it's very expensive. It's not cheap to do. And I don't know that you get a whole lot of benefit, because one of the challenges that governments have is they do not have enough people in finance. They don't really have the systems in place and the people, the credentialed individuals to really have a complete great set of internal controls. I'm not too concerned with the findings that we had, that you would need a full audit of your internal control system, again, because it would be very costly. But again, the federal government, one of the challenges they have is they can't audit every federal fund that's out there. And so what they're essentially trying to do is push the responsibility of managing internal controls down to the grantees. Again, it's costly, there's a lot of pushback because the public companies even had issues when they rolled out the 404 work after all those scandals. And it'll help to get an internal control system in place, but again, it's only as good as the controls and how they follow. And so with the limited staff and the difficulty of having those people in place, it would be very difficult to even, if you had a perfect system of internal controls, to really be able to monitor that. It's not something I you know, say you shouldn't do, but it would be difficult to do that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, sir, we want to thank you for your presentation.
Definitely.
And you've been here and your message to us.
Appreciate you. How much is it? If I can do anything else, just let me know.
We will. Thank you, sir. Moving on to number five on our agenda is reports of select committees. Are there any select committees to report out? Congressman Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, Assistant Chief. Appropriations Committee has met a number of times. I'm reporting out on Bill ONC 1697 that was discussed on three different dates. September 20th, the final committee action was due passed with amendments. And again, that's an act to amend 15 ONCA 1A101 to add definitions to promote uniform use, meaning an application to be used in all legislation, support documentation, budgeting, and spending, and to establish an alternate effective date. Again, the final committee action was due pass with amendments with yes votes from Shaw, Tillman, Maker, Norris, Whitehorn, and Pratt. reporting out ONCR 1638 to approve the revised fiscal year 2017 annual revenue projection for the nation. The committee met on September 21st, and the final committee action was due pass as a committee substitute with amendments. Five yes votes from Shaw, Tillman, Maker, Whitehorn, Pratt, with one absent, Norris. And also the appropriations committee had been referred the appointee evaluation on the treasurer appointee, Samuel Alexander. The final committee action is the candidate is qualified by education experience and there are no ethical or legal barriers to service. There were three yes votes from Shaw, Maker, Norris. Two no votes from Whitehorn and Pratt, one absent Tillman. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other reports from select committees? Congresswoman Pratt.
Thank you. Good morning. Rules and Ethics, not for engrossment. Reporting Bill ONCA 1698, an act to authorize and appropriate $8 million to the Osage Nation Higher Education Scholarship Fund from fiscal year 2017 revenue and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Shannon Edwards, co-sponsor Bishop Tillman. The final committee action is due pass as properly engrossed with two yes votes from Pratt Edwards, one absent vote. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any other select committees to report out? Seeing none. Reports of standing committees. Congressman Shaw.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to make a motion that we suspend the rules, modify the agenda, and move ONCR 1638 to General Order Day 2 on today's agenda.
Second. No discussion on this. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Those opposed say no. Yes is have it. 1638 is moved to General Order Day 2. Standing committees, any other standing committees to report out? Congresswoman Bucklehead.
Government operations met regarding bill number ONCA 1677, an act to approve and refer to measure on whether the definition of marriage shall be amended to include two persons of the same sex under Osage law, and to direct it to be placed on the ballot in a special election. The sponsor is myself. Date of meeting was September 8th. Presiding officer was Maria Whitehorn. Final committee action due pass as committee substitute with yes votes from Bucklehead, Whitehorn, Tillman, and Walker, two absent, Norris and Supernov.
Thank you. 1677 goes to general order day one. Any other standing committees to report out? Congressman Walker.
Speaker, our members of Congress, this is the chief. Listening. Social Services Committee met yesterday, considered bill number ONCA 1680, an act to establish a summer program to introduce Osages to careers in the health industry at an early age, and to establish an alternative effective date. Sponsor is Ron Shaw. Committee action is due pass with amendments. Voting yes, Walker, Shaw, Maker, and Norris. Voting no, Pratt. One absent. Committee also considered bill number ONCA 1692, an act to the Health and Wellness Division of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2017, in the amount of $13,947,612, to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Ron Shaw. Committee action is due pass as a committee substitute. Voting yes, Walker, Shaw, Pratt, Maker, and Mason. Speaker.
Yes.
Just for clarification's sake, the first bill that I read out, 1680, was read out. The committee action took place on September 20th, not yesterday.
Thank you. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I have a point of order also. The committee report has a different title on it than the actual bill does. I believe the actual bill has the amount, we're talking about 1680, correct, Congressman? What do you back up to talk about? The actual bill as it came out of committee does have the appropriation amount in the title. The amount on the committee, the title on the committee report is not contained yet. I wish that to be corrected.
So noted, and it is corrected. Clerk is correct.
You are just speaking on the committee report because it is in the title of the bill.
Yes, that's my title.
Did I read the result of the vote on the 1692?
Yes.
Yes.
Committee also considered ONCA 1695. Title is to provide an appropriation to the Child, Family, and Senior Services Division of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2017 in the amount of $4,154,438 to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Ron Shaw. Committee action is due pass as a committee substitute. Voting yes, Walker, Shaw, Pratt, Maker, and Mason. Absent, Norris. Committee also considered bill number ONCA 16102, an act to restrict revenue raised from the delivery of health services to expenditures on health-related services, and to provide an alternate effective date. The date of that meeting was also September 20th. Committee action is due pass with amendments. Voting yes, Walker, Shaw, Pratt, Maker, and Norris. Absent, Mason.
Thank you. Any other standing committees to report out? Congressman Supernov.
Congressman, Nicky Mullins, the golf and committee met yesterday, September 21st. From Sutterville, number ONCA 16117. An act to amend ONCA 1519, change the definition of commercial property to limit the revenue into and use of this fund to Osage Nation properties under 100 acres and to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Maria Whitehorn. And the final committee action was to do pass this committee substitute with six yes votes from Supernova, Whitehorn, Tillman, Maker, Pratt, and Shaw.
Thank you. The other standing committees to report out. Moving on, number seven, introductions of bills or resolutions. Any bills or resolutions to be reported out at this time? Bills and resolutions on first reading, referencing ONCA 16-121, Congresswoman Bufflehead.
Thank you, Speaker, members of Congress. ONCA 16-121 is an act to authorize and appropriate $100,000 to the Osage Nation Foundation to be administered and distributed as donations and to establish an alternate effective date.
Thank you. Referencing ONCA 16-121.
Thank you, Speaker. Reading in ONCA 16-122, an act to authorize and appropriate a $20,000 donation to the court-appointed special advocates of the Osage and Pine Counties out of fiscal year 2017 and to establish an alternate effective date.
Thank you. Referencing now ONCA 16-123, Congresswoman Edwards.
ONCA 16-123 is an act to establish a mechanism for tribal members and non-tribal members to obtain licenses to hunt and fish on Osage Nation owned property, to prohibit hunting and fishing on Osage Nation lands until an inventory of such lands is completed and published. Land use laws in effect, and there are rules and regulations governing licensure and penalties for illegal hunting and fishing, and to establish an alternate effective date.
Thank you. Referencing now ONCR 16-42, Congressman Stillman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of Congress, Assistant Chief. Reading in ONCR 16-42, a resolution to state the intended purpose of Blue Stem Ranch, LLC. To support the Blue Stem Ranch, LLC board's management of the entire Blue Stem Ranch. As initially supported and championed to the Osage Nation Congress by Principal Chief Standing Bear.
Thank you. Referencing now ONCR 16-43, Congresswoman Pratt.
Thank you. ONCR 16-43, a resolution to support the establishment and use of the sweat lodge for the benefit of patients with the primary residential treatment.
Thank you. Now, to note that ONCA 16-121 is assigned to Governor Ops. ONCA 16-122 is assigned to Governor Ops. ONCA 16-123 is assigned to Commerce. ONCR 16-42 is assigned to Commerce. ONCR 16-43 is assigned to Health and Social Services. Moving on to number eight, it's on the flip side of your agenda. General Order Day 2, amendments can be proposed. Okay. moving forward, item A, Bowling CA 1699, an act to authorize and appropriate $5 million to the health benefit plan fund from fiscal year 2017 revenue and to establish an alternate effective date sponsored by Congressman Edwards. Are there any amendments to be proposed? Congresswoman Edwards.
First point of order, is that total correct?
Checking. $5,600,000. Thank you. Congresswoman Edwards.
Amendment number one, throughout the bill, strike $5,600,000 and insert $6 million.
Second for discussion.
That's going to be tomorrow.
Oh.
It'll be tomorrow.
Second. We'll discuss tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Any other amendments to OMCA 1699? It's presented. Moving forward to ONCA 16103, an act to authorize and appropriate $1,250,000 to the Treasury for debt service payment on the campus master plan loan and to establish an alternate effective date sponsored by Congressman Baker. Are there any amendments to be proposed at this time? Okay, 1603 goes to third reading after engrossment. Item C, ONCA 16110, an act to amend ONCA 1582 to provide a supplemental appropriation of grant funds to the Division of Land, Commerce, and Public Safety for fiscal year 2016 in the amount of $100,000 and to establish an alternate effective date sponsored by Congressman Shaw. Are there any amendments to be made at this time? Hearing none, ONCA 16110 goes to third reading after engrossment. Item D, ONCR 1637, a resolution declaring congressional consent and approval of the Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise Board's annual plan of operation fiscal year 2017, sponsored by Congressman Supernov. Are there any amendments to be made at this time? Hearing none, ONCR 1637 moves to third reading after engrossment. Item E, ONCR 1639, a resolution declaring congressional consent and approval of the Blue Stem Ranch LLC Board's annual plan of operation for fiscal year 2017, sponsored by Congressman Supernov. Are there any amendments to be made? Hearing none, ONCR 1639 moves to third reading after engrossment. Item F has just been added. Is ONCR 16-38. This is a resolution to approve the revised fiscal year 2017 annual revenue projection of the Osage Nation. Are there any amendments to be made at this time? Hearing none, ONCR 1638 moves to third reading after engrossment. Moving on to number nine, third reading. Reference ONCA 1698, an act to authorize and appropriate $8 million. Is authorized to be appropriated to the Osage Nation Education Scholarship Fund out of the General Fund and the Treasury to carry out the purposes of the Osage Nation Higher Education Scholarship Fund Act, sponsored by Congresswoman Edwards. Congresswoman Edwards, you have 8 minutes in total. Split those up or have closure or opening, whichever you wish.
Split my time.
Split your time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of Congress. As this Congress, with the possible exception of Congressman Tillman knows, in the spring of this year, we authorized spending levels for the scholarship for the calendar school year. The calendar school year for an Osage student starts in the fall, continues in through the spring, the winter and spring. Some students go to school on a quarter system or other system, continues into the summer, and then this new school year starts beginning in the fall. So in the spring of this year, in anticipation of the student handbook, which is due out to the students by May 15th of every year, the Osage Nation Congress approved and authorized the spending levels for the scholarship for the calendar school year, meaning fall, where we are right now, winter, spring, and next summer. When we authorize those spending levels, then accordingly, we need to appropriate the funds to maintain that spending. And that did not happen in the spring. The administration indicated to us that we should do that later. Then they talked about us doing it in July, which didn't make sense to us. The work that had been done in spring was sufficient to make that kind of funding analysis. So the Congress decided we'll go ahead and wait until September, when we will have more information, hopefully, about where the trend is going in terms of this school year's funding. Now, unfortunately, we found out just recently that along with our authorization, the handbook was changed sometime in the summer, and there were some additional requirements put on the students in terms of reporting, which has changed the way that funding can go out for the students. You might recall that last year, by this time, almost all the students had received, that had been approved, had received their funding. In fact, it was there almost at the first day of school. So we felt like we'd made some real progress in getting our scholarship funding out to our students in the fall. This year we found out in committee that approximately 35% of the students had not received their funding. And we heard from Scholarship America that the administration had made some new reporting requirements, and that as a result, September 30th is the last day for students to request their funding, and thereafter the funding will go out. As such, our work is probably not complete, and we really don't know with any certainty how we're doing this fall in terms of funding. As a result of that, we've made an $8 million appropriation to the scholarship fund. I would urge everyone to support that. We know that we do not have enough money in this fund, and this is another change. We do not have enough money in this fund to fund the remainder of the school year. In the past, we have funded ahead. You guys have heard this discussion ad nauseum. We're not doing that anymore for unknown reasons as far as I know, but I know that that's a priority of some other members and a priority of the administration, certainly, to budget as close to the actual number of dollars that you're going to need to fulfill the scholarship obligations as possible.
4 minutes.
This funding has some cushion in it. It has the remnants of what used to be a policy of funding ahead. So I would urge your support. It may or may not all be paid out to the dollar, but I believe it will be sufficient to cover our funding for the fall, where we are right now, the spring, winter, and the following summer, as well as the field of study internship and the administrative costs which come out of the fund. Thank you.
Thank you. Any members of Congress wishing to speak for or against ONCA 1698? Hearing none, Congresswoman Edwards, you have closure if you wish.
No, I'll wait.
The question is, shall ONCA 1698 pass? Roll call vote, please.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supermom.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethlehead.
Yes.
Speaker Mason.
Yes. ONCA 1698 passes and moves to enrollment. Oh, we have an alternate effective date. ONCA 1698 moves to enrollment. Number 10, motions or notices. Notices of meetings coming up. Congresswoman Bufflehead.
Government Ops meets today from 5 to 7 p.m.
Thank you. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I just have a notice. It's not a meeting, but I'm noticing on the agenda that our first committee meeting starts at 1:30 today. I'm also noticing that we have some legislation on here that has been moved to general order, has been moved to third reading, that probably doesn't need much debate, which is the master campus loan, some grant funds for the Division of Land Commerce and Public Safety, the possible resolution. And I'm curious if members would like, since we don't have any IFS meetings today, would like to move that on to the third reading on today's agenda, because I know that we have a lot of legislation and I worry about our staff getting backed up if we start passing out 10 bills a day. We have one clerk to process all of that. So I was trying to stay ahead. I don't know if the clerk would prefer not to do that today. She had other plans for this time use, because I know her time is precious, to get her work done. So that's just a notice I'd like to put out there. I will make a motion if any other Congress member would like to notice me what they think about that.
Asking up here. You had a motion now?
There was not a motion. So notice to members, if they wanted to notice me back what they thought about it before I made that motion, I would.
Let us move ahead, and I want to take care of some housekeeping first, and we'll hold your motion. We do have notice in the act that we just finished in ONCA 1698, and we did pass that, and we do have attached to it an establishment for an alternate effective date. The question is, shall the alternate effective date pass on ONCA 1698?
Yes.
Those in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Those say no. Moving back, before we come to your thoughts, I'd like to go ahead and acknowledge those that might have meetings to announce today. Congressman Shaw.
An appropriation for the meeting at 2:45 to 4. I guess I'd like to point out somehow we got a little bit of an overlap again between education and appropriation. I don't know how that happens, but the only reason that it's only 15 minutes, the only reason it's significant is that we still have substantial amounts of legislation on many of these committee agendas. And when we start late or run over or it takes 25 minutes between the meeting to get reset up, I mean, I'm talking about for the members to show up at the table, not for the secretaries to get ready. It's biting into our time, so an hour and a half meeting becomes an hour meeting. If you try to make it an hour and a half, you take a half hour with a subsequent committee meeting. So I please ask you to adjourn on time and not go beyond your requested time, and if you've got a subsequent meeting, be there on time and get started on time, so we can get this legislation processed.
Thank you for your comments. Any other announcements for your meetings and times? Councilman Edwards.
Education committee meets 1:30 to 3:00. We'll try to wrap up early to accommodate the overlap.
Thank you. Congresswoman Pratt.
Culture committee meets at 4:00.
Thank you. And we're going to move back now to, Congressman Hamilton.
Congressional affairs will be meeting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
CA tomorrow morning at 9. Congresswoman Pratt.
In addition to asking the clerk, I'd like to ask the legislative council your thoughts on moving to a reimbursement at this point.
Okay, Congressman. Mr. Gill, I'd like to respond, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of Congress, this is Chief. Like we're looking at 5 pieces of legislation for engrossment. I have no problem working on them with them. Obviously, they're a priority. Probably at least an hour to prepare those engrossments, and then however long the committee will take after that.
Okay, thank you. With that said, Congressman Walker.
Rather than maybe processing all 5 of it, would it maybe be more reasonable to do 2 or 3? Just get a jump start and utilize the time rather than push up against it.
Congressman Pratt.
Let's say yes, because if we did that and it took us up to an hour to do them, then that would only give us 30 minutes to even come back in to do them. That fast, so. But I'm open for whatever.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Is the point you're trying to figure out whether we can come recess rather than adjourn? Mm-hmm. I don't see that feasible. It's 11 o'clock. I just was.
Congresswoman Whitehall.
I just noticed we didn't have a committee meeting until 1:30, so I thought that possibly we'd be able to move some through. If that's not feasible and the body doesn't want to do that, I just know that there's getting ready to be a floodgate of bills hit us, and we're working with one clerk that's going to have to process every one of those. So that's just my concern. I'm just trying to try to keep ahead of the curve, but I guess maybe there's no possible way to do it. So we can pull that consideration off.
I'm going to acknowledge the clerk for the comments.
My concern is not as much the 5 bills that are going to engrossment today. My concern is more concerning once the appropriation bills are moved out of committee. I'm really concerned about Monday and possibly potentially Tuesday. We have full schedules both days for meetings, and that's our drop-dead deadline on getting stuff out and over to the executive branch. And potentially all of the appropriation bills could be coming out of committee by Monday, and that's my concern.
Congresswoman Bufflehead, Congresswoman Edwards, and Congresswoman Pratt.
Well, I would like a time certain for rules and ethics so that it's noticed for all members to attend if they want to attend and for even me to know when it is. I don't really care when it is. I just need to know. I just need to be aware of an actual time that the committee is going to meet, because I wasn't aware of last night's meeting.
I'll defer to Congresswoman.
Congresswoman Pratt, okay. Well, you could respond.
Yeah, I did notice you yesterday that bill needed to be engrossed, and we were trying to, you and I have a discussion of when we could find the time. And it was at the end of the day, and Congresswoman Edwards and I are always here until at least 6 o'clock. And so in that time, you know, the clerk came to me and said, we need to get this engrossed, because we do, and I agree, I'm even agreeing at this point that we probably could push those 3 resolutions out.
So I did have a discussion with you, but it was right then and there, and we were available, so we went ahead. I mean, I understand your point, but I did notice, I did give you notice that it needed to be in Rochester.
Congresswoman Pratt, I like that. So what is your time now for rules of ethics today?
Well, if it would take an hour. And also, I'd like to put you on, put the committee on notice that sometimes we really need to be on standby, at least especially for Monday, correct, Jana? Like, because we're going to be trying to get everything done at that point. I understand we're on different committees, but if legislative council thinks they could be ready by noon, then I would say noon. Especially if we just at least go with the three resolutions, because I don't really think they'll take a very long time to vote on.
That'll be up to however business you want to do your rules. So you've got to be at noon today.
I would say noon.
Rules and ethics meets at noon. Congresswoman Evans.
Should we adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow?
Okay, I have a couple of announcements before we go.
Okay.
A personal announcement to all of you that just received word that my wife is taking the fall in Tulsa. I'm going to have to leave here. My husband and caregivers will check on my wife. In the meantime, I'll check with the second speaker. He's going to present my two bills to you in
education.
And also the second speaker set the agenda for tomorrow in my absence. We are adjourned till, Need a second?
Second.
Those in favor of tomorrow's meeting at 10 o'clock? One more, Ms. Pratt.